The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and we're here for the next 4 hours. Well, three of those. Lance will be here, and then Dell and I bring it home in the final hour of the show as we head into the press box. Not much going on sports-wise last night, except the, you know, World Series thing. And how many A.J. Hinch references were there here in Houston with Kevin Cash going out and pulling Blake Snell? I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. We heard Greinke. Greinke was pissed when he left him in there and he got that out, that big out, because Maldonado told him, hey, he can get him here. And he left him in there. And Greinke, after the game, goes, yeah, it's really amazing how they don't, you know, they don't trust me around here. How they come and, you know, they've been doing this. You mean like AJ in the World Series? No, they've been doing this since I got here. There's a lot of examples of them coming to get me. You got Blake Snell dealing 9 strikeouts, 5 1/3 innings, and he's got a base runner, and you pull him? Are you
kidding
me? Second
hit of the game. Two hits.
Are you kidding me? I mean, Chandler Rome sent out a tweet. He said, just in all fairness, he did this to Charlie Morton in the ALCS, and it worked, just so everybody knows. So?
I'm so tired.
Nick Anderson has been a disaster this postseason.
I'm so tired. 7 straight games. He had 7 straight games where he allowed an earned run. 7 straight games. You went from Blake. And this is really – this is more – the reason this pisses me off, A, is because the Dodgers won.
Yeah.
So, them. But the second reason is because this is – we saw this happen. Analytics has got to get put under control. It's got to be – we cannot live our lives like a blackjack. I'm not ever going to live my life like the blackjack guy who's sitting there who just plays by the book the whole time. The analytics guys, you know, my affection for the job Daryl Morey did here is obviously well known, and a lot of people make fun of me. But I also think that Daryl really, like all analytics guys, they just struggle with the human element. They just don't think it exists. They just don't think certain things even exist, that they even are a factor. And it's going to be the blind spot that kills it. Because I live in a world with my draft stuff where I marry data and I marry the tape. You have to see certain things. There is such a thing as feel. There is such a thing as gut instinct. There is such a thing as instincts. That's a real thing. Everything is not data. There are instincts, and instincts are real, where you have a feel for something. And that yesterday is a great example of how I was looking at people make excuses, the analytics crowd, for, well, you know, third time through. Oh, okay, so to be fair, just like Chandler Rome, to be fair. No, not to be fair. This is really easy. You have your best pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner, on the mound. He's given up 2 hits. You let him keep rolling because this is what he does. This is what his livelihood is. Nick Anderson has no business being in a game like this. This guy's been a chump. He's been a chump since the playoffs started. A chump. Every time Blake, we were so happy when Charlie Morton came out. Every time he came out, I was like, oh my God, thank God. The Astros have a shot. Every time Blake Snell weaseled out of it, but they let Blake Snell, you know, work through. But, you know, it was a blessing. And now, you know, we're seeing this happen again. And it's not just because the Dodgers won, even though I hate them. But this is the same thing, John, that we saw. It's the reason the Astros may have lost a World Series is because they wouldn't trust Zach Greinke when we knew he was dealing, and Blake was dealing too. And Kevin Cash was asked about this. Dell can find the audio. He basically admitted, third time through, well, you know, as much as you guys like to think we have a set way of doing things, you know, we don't go in with a set game plan. But then he fully admitted, third time through the lineup, looking at a guy.
Oh my God, is the guy dealing or is he not dealing?
Exactly.
Have some, and this, well, now it doesn't happen anymore. But I can't stand it when you bring a guy in who a reliever in the seventh or eighth inning, and he comes in and he boom, 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 three strikes out, and then you pull him for another guy. I'm like, what the hell? The guy looks great. Let him throw to another batter and see. Oh, my gosh, with the percentages and the left versus left and all this. That guy is dealing right now. Can we stop? Can you stop? Oh, thank God that you pulled the trigger. Because of Dave Roberts, because of all of these guys that over-manage this game, now they have a rule that you have to face three guys, which is awesome. I think it's an awesome rule. I really do. I think it's tremendous. Yeah. So we don't have to watch you walk out there every batter and pull a guy, and the game takes 6 hours. Unbelievable. He's got Kevin Cash sound. Let's hear Kevin Cash, Dell. Let's hear Kevin Cash talking about this and telling everybody why he's so stupid.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Oh, because you know why? Because Mookie Betts has been lighting him up. You know what Mookie Betts was in the series against Blake Snell?
What?
0-for-4 with three strikeouts.
K-Mac said something, and he said the next three hitters up were 0-for-6 with six Ks in the game against Blake Snell.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations, Kevin Cash. Now you and your entire analytics department will have to deal with this. And the analytics sycophants that refuse to acknowledge that. You know, let me just put this in perspective. To get a data point, there has to be historical outcomes. So to get to a point where you say, okay, against left-handers or Mookie Betts or third time through, Blake Snell is this and whatever the case may be, you have to have a set of data points has to occur. So you have to have historical data that has occurred. Events have taken place, and then you sort in the data, and there's your numbers. And when you look at those numbers, remember this. Always remember this. Those numbers that are there have been made up by good things and by bad things. They've been made up by both good things and bad things. So when you look at that final number, remember that at some point in those numbers, a lot of times, there was a really, really good performance that went into those numbers. They're not all bad. There was good performances. Like Blake Snell's numbers were not crazy. OPS was in the 700s, his third time through a lineup looking at guys. That's not terrible at all. And so it's just 40 points higher, I think, than his second time through, which is also in the 700s. So the reason I say that is because there are times that you outperform those numbers, obviously, that you have outperformed what the numbers are. Just like with any average, there is a 4-for-4 game that goes with an 0-for-4 game. That's the way it works. Or a 3-for-4 that goes with an 0-for-4 when you're looking at batting average. Blake Snell was on a heater. He was clearly playing above and beyond what your normal numbers for the third time through a lineup would dictate. So you don't do the same thing with Zach Greinke. That Greinke we saw last year was different than the Greinke we had seen most of the time. That was a different Greinke. So play that Greinke like it's that Greinke.
Right. Right. And play, yeah, Blake Snell, I like to call him. Blake Snell, it's a Cy Young, and Greinke is a Hall of Famer. What are you doing, guys? You got your best out there, and you put in Nick Anderson? Nick Anderson, who has sucked? Are you kidding me? I know he was. Now, I will give them credit. They stuck with Brandon Lau, and I thought, what the hell are you guys doing? This guy was against the Astros, coming into the, I think it was game 6 or game 7. Dude was 2-for-35 or 1-for-35, whatever he was, and he came up with a home run. And I thought, well, you know what? You're sticking with your guy. I get that. You know what? But they were batting him up in the order. But he was awful, awful. And he came through in the World Series. He had a couple home runs and everything else. You stuck with your guy. I get that. That's awesome. But not a reliever. Even A.J. Hinch said, you know what? We just can't throw Ken Giles anymore. We just can't do it. We can't hurt the club anymore. What is he thinking in a critical situation, bringing in a guy that has been awful in the postseason? I don't care how good he was in the regular season. He wore out or something happened to him. He's not that same guy right now. He just isn't that same guy. What the hell are you thinking pulling your best pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner, for a guy who's sucking right now? This is managerial. I mean, this is managing in 2020. It really is. Overmanaging, overthinking, over analytics, over everything. Stop. Let your guys play. If a guy, he was on a heater. Dude could have hit from half court last night. Blake Snell was on fire. And, you know what? He missed a shot, got to pull him. What? He missed a shot, so you got to pull him? Yep, missed a shot. Got to get him out of the game. Yep. I know he's got 35 at the half, but he missed a shot.
The numbers say he never scores this. This guy never scores this many points. Yeah, I know. That's why it's called a heater. Well, that's why it's called a career
Blake
game.
Blake Snell's a Cy Young Award winner. He scored before.
It's a career game. Yeah, exactly. When you're having a career game in basketball, you know what you do? You ride it out. Some guys have career games. That's what they do.
Yeah, and you ride to a game seven.
See,
and what a hero Blake Snell was.
The analytics crowd is so – they are so – in general, the analytics crowd is so what's the word I'm looking for?
Asinine?
No. They're just
they're
no,
so...
they're very condescending. They're very arrogant. That's the word I'm looking for. It's a very arrogant bunch that they have the secret sauce. You don't. You just don't understand because you're not smart enough. You don't know the math to understand why their moves are so amazing and so special, and you just couldn't possibly know. I am a analytics. Is a great tool. It's an amazing tool. All it is taking historical data and you now have advantages. It's done when you're card counting. That's the same as analytics. You have an advantage because you know that the outcomes typically show up in this form. It tilts things in your direction. To act like this is the only way that you maneuver in life is just through analytics, man. That's why that whole thing bothered me. They basically may have blown a World Series chance because they and then people are like, well, it wasn't like you're gonna win one run anyway. You're gonna win one run anyway.
Yeah.
Well, how about not give up two? How about not give up two and let's find out?
Well, yeah, no. I don't know if you heard. One run wins games sometimes. 1-0 actually wins games.
It's happened before.
If your pitching is better.
And if Mookie Betts homers later, then it's 1-1. You're going to extra.
Well, how do you know Mookie Betts homers off of Blake
you don't.
Snell?
I'm talking about the next time through.
That's what I'm saying. How do you know that he homers off Blake Snell?
Who knows? Yeah, Blake may have still been in the game. I mean,
yeah.
73
Why can't
pitches.
Blake Snell, I don't know if you heard. Sometimes pitchers throw 9 innings.
He was 73. He wasn't even through the 6, so I don't know if he would have. I don't think he would have gone that far.
You know what, Lance? Sometimes
it might not have been Anderson, though.
Sometimes pitchers throw 115 pitches. Sometimes that happened.
Yeah.
It happened once in history. Oh no, it didn't. It happened a boatload. I almost said.
Yeah, I know.
The other
I saw.
Way.
I caught you, but not with Tampa Bay. It doesn't.
No. Because we have to go to our bullpen in the third.
Well, the other big story when we come back, we'll talk about Justin Turner. Very nice job. If you had any doubt at all that a team would play with a player with COVID, in case you were wondering if anyone would just bury the results and play, you have to know that that's probably what happened.
Yeah. No. That absolutely happened because they got informed early.
If you don't know this, if you didn't wait up until after the game and find out, wait until you hear what the latest storyline is. Way to go, Dodgers.
Asterisk
I hope this ruins.
What, asterisk yep. is what the latest storyline is.
Yep.
Yep. How's
asterisk
that?
Next to it. That's what I'm saying.
Time for me to talk about the Loken Group. And you want to know what? There's no asterisk next to them. They're the best, and that's not even close. Pardon me? Oh, 743. That's okay. People want to hear about them now. I'll talk about them later then, Dell. Never mind.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm not the manager. I don't make decisions. Asking for my opinion, though, I think it was Blake's game. He was dominating. I don't really care what the numbers say. Third time through the order or whatever, there wasn't many guys making contact in general, and no hard contact whatsoever. And, I think we all wanted to see him go in there, or stay in there. But it's, Cash and everyone, they've been great this whole year with making decisions, and, it didn't work out for us right there. But, with Blake's pitch count and how dominant he was, I think all of us – well, no, I can't even say that. I wanted to see him stay in because, he's had the early hook last couple of times out there, and I was hoping they'd give him that final nod.
That was Kevin Kiermaier, who got his wrist broken or destroyed in the Astros series. But, I mean, now you can say whatever you want or whatever. I don't know what his status is. Is he a free agent? I don't know. He probably, I don't give a rat's ass. I'm going to tell the truth. Somebody's got to tell the truth around here. That was a bad move. It was a horse bleep move. I don't remember, I remember how pissed off Gerrit Cole was after the game. Do we remember anybody calling out AJ for pulling Greinke?
No, but it's the end of the year. I don't remember a lot of people talking other than, basic stuff. And I don't know how many people the question was put directly to them. And then after that, you don't see them anyway the rest of the year. So yeah. I don't know that we had a chance. But this was even more blatant than that to me. This was earlier in the game. It was about the same amount of pitches, but it was actually earlier in the game. Greinke went deep. Deep because he was so
unbelievable.
Tight with his pitch count. He was that good.
He was 7 1/3. This was 5 1/3.
Cody Rogers says, I'm not disagreeing with y'all, but manager has to be the worst of the pro coaching jobs. If reliever comes in and dominates, Snell getting pulled never comes up. Easy move, third time through the order. If he leaves Snell in, Mookie and Seaver rock him. Dude's an idiot. It was third time through the order. Has to be the most second guessing as a coach. What? Well, no. Nobody says easy move third time through the order. As soon as he came in, the announcing crew was like, wait, what is going on? Literally everybody that was watching on Twitter was like, what in the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
No, literally nobody, Cody.
Nobody.
Literally nobody would have said easy move third time through the order. Bring in Anderson, the guy who has 6 straight games of giving up a run. Easy move. No. Blake had 9 strikeouts in 5 1/3. No, not easy move. Not second guessing. No, you can pick that spot. You can pick your spot to make that argument somewhere else, not here. Here's not the time you want to try to unleash that argument.
So Jeff Passan tweeted this last night.
Don't care.
Well, you do kind of probably care. I mean, I think this will.
What did he say? How effusive was he about the Dodgers?
In the second inning tonight, the lab doing COVID tests informed Major League Baseball that Justin Turner's test from yesterday came back inconclusive. The samples from today had just arrived and were run. It showed up positive. The league immediately called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner. When was Turner pulled? In the eighth inning. In the second inning, the Dodgers were advised.
All right, I care again, Jeff. What were you saying now?
I was saying that in the second inning, the Dodgers were advised that Justin Turner had tested positive. In the eighth inning, they pulled him. You know what? They must have come by carriage, by horse and carriage, with that information to the Dodgers. Wells Fargo had to deliver that.
I'm looking at
because you couldn't get it to him until the eighth inning.
So the second inning, the test was inconclusive. I don't know their protocol, but I assume once the test is inconclusive, that something ramps up where maybe we need to get this guy out of here because we're not sure. And then later on, they had a definitive positive because they tested him multiple times. They didn't get the first test back till the second. Inconclusive. Then the one they had tested before, all right, clear that he's positive. Let's remove him from the game. But I thought if he's inconclusive, you would take him out. Because they knew in the second there might be a problem, and they left him in.
It could be. Well, yeah, this it could doesn't be.
This says that it was the same timeline.
Well, I'm reading Jeff Passan's tweet from 8 hours ago.
The lab doing COVID tests informed Major League Baseball that Justin Turner's test from yesterday came back inconclusive.
Yeah.
The samples from today had just arrived and were run. It showed up positive. That's still in the second inning.
No, they came back. They did multiple tests, and the one that came back initially was inconclusive. But they had already tested him again, and that came back later. And that's when the Dodgers pulled him in the seventh. I guess it was the seventh. But the thought was, if they knew something was up, you would take him out to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, Dell saying if it's inconclusive and you can't tell what you should be doing, protocol, I guarantee you protocol would have been to play it safe.
Yeah, well, this is poorly written because it doesn't say when the test from today showed up.
Well, that's on Jeff Passan for poorly writing stuff.
Right. That's very poor writing, actually. It doesn't say – it says – They got back the test in the second inning, and they got back the test from today at the same time.
Well, I'm reading Ken Rosenthal.
There's no timeline for the test that got back today.
Well, what's Rosenthal saying?
Rosenthal, he had to correct himself. I guess he said something incorrect on the broadcast. First result on the test from yesterday came back in the second inning, not in the afternoon. His test from earlier today, so he had a test yesterday, or now, I guess Wednesday, or Monday now. It came back in the second inning. And then the one he took on yesterday came back later in the game, and that's when they pulled him from the game. Hmm. So he took a test on Monday, came back in the second, took a test.
So he got the new version from Rob Manfred. Ken Rosenthal.
Maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
His test
Manfred
from
said, hey, Rosie, this is what happened. Put this out there on your Twitter.
The test from Monday came back second inning. The test from Tuesday, which was taken earlier in the day, was expedited, and it came back positive, and then he was removed from the game.
Here's manager Dave Roberts, Justin Turner, team president Andrew Friedman down in the front row of the Dodgers LA World Series. Team photo on the field. He's got a mask on, Turner does, and then he pulls it off. Yeah. And let's not forget, Dave Roberts is a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, boys. He's sitting right next to him. Right next to him. Well done, boys. Well done. Number one, it looks like you intentionally left a guy in who probably had COVID, number one. And number two, you let him come back out on the field to celebrate, and he pulled off his mask. To me, this is the big story, and we should never talk about the Dodgers World Series ever again. Only this.
Yes. Only how he risked everybody's life.
Everyone's life. Yes. Everyone's life is at stake. Way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Nice
and now,
job.
If anybody from the Dodgers gets sick, it will be kept so quiet, no one will say a freaking word. They will keep it so quiet because they won't want that heat. By the way, Jose sends a Game of Thrones. He said the message was sent by Raven. He's got a Game of Thrones, a Raven being thrown.
The Raven would get there faster.
Yeah.
The Raven actually got there faster. Remember how stuff it took the White Walkers like 7 years to get down to the wall, but my goodness, the dragon was there in like 20 seconds.
Well, flight is obviously faster than walking, John, so no, that's okay. Just straight math. Right. And the White Walkers were accumulating an army. They weren't just walking, they were killing and accumulating an army.
Here comes Will Actually Dell on the White
Walkers.
Yeah,
because I don't know if, hey, Lance, how long would it take for you to get to San Antonio by walking, and how long would it take for you to get to San Antonio on a plane?
It'd probably take 2 days walking.
Mm-hmm. And how long would it take for you on a plane?
Probably. Maybe even less. Maybe.
And were you stopping and
15
killing?
15 hours.
And were you stopping and killing people along the way and raising them from the dead? How long would it take then?
Tell you what I'm doing. I'm stopping and killing those toilets at Bucky's because they're special places.
That's awful.
Well, you know, I don't want to hear about actually partitions. Everything goes down to the ground. It's your own special little.
So people
room.
Can't see you tapping what? Your foot on the ground while you're what? In the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put headphones on and listen to stuff, watch something
or
on your
phone.
Or you
can slide your foot under the stall and tap your foot to
no,
send a
you
signal.
Can't. You can no, you
stick
can't.
Your There's... finger through the glory hole.
No, have y'all never been into a Bucky's bathroom?
No, I've never been, actually.
Never.
Clearly you haven't if you're saying that. It's a room. It's like your own little room. No, there's no side anything.
So you and your buddy can have privacy.
Yeah, but you can still smell John, and hear.
No, you can't.
Oh, it stop. Okay.
Somebody call in and tell John and Dell about the Bucky.
I'm looking at. They don't have to call.
I've been in Bucky's bathroom.
I'm looking at the
They're
images.
Very nice.
They don't have to call.
I'm still not dropping deuces in there. Okay.
What? No. Why would you not?
Because I like that for to be a home game. That's all.
No, yeah, that's the one place that I'll play a road game. I don't play.
Nah.
I don't play. That's a home game. That is a home game.
Yeah, I don't Everything know. Maybe is... Justin Turner was in there right before me. I don't know.
Now you have.
Yeah, that's true.
Now you have COVID.
Yeah, maybe Justin Turner was in there. I don't want to go in there.
Nope, because he's a super spreader.
Dirty whore.
Whoa,
Justin Turner,
and he's a super spreader. You don't want any part of that.
No,
I know. And look at him; he looks like a wildling because he is a wildling.
No, he is a wildling, and he's spreading. He's a super spreader.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what?
Hey, by the way, later in the show, we're gonna have Blake
Snell
on
Bucky's in between innings. Right.
Oh, he would. Yeah, he would totally do that. We're gonna hear from Blake Snell on a mobile. At 8 o'clock.
That one's, oh, that nice.
Was, ooh. Oh, that'll be totally sweet.
No, the Blake Snell on the mobile thing, I question only because we've talked about Blake Snell before. He looks like the white dude who goes to the black barbershop.
Right.
But he's going to call in. Is he going to sound exactly like Blake Snell or an exaggeration of Blake Snell?
He's going to sound like Blake
he's
Snell.
He's going to sound exactly like Blake Snell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blake Snell's
well,
not,
you got to play
Blake
some
Snell's
Blake
not
Snell.
Having this. Yeah.
You got to play some Blake Snell risking his life because of Justin Turner. Okay.
Yeah. You first of all, you do have to set it up by playing what he – for those who haven't heard, he was playing Twitch. And or he, not playing Twitch. He was playing a video game. He was on Twitch. And somebody asked him, are you going to go back and play baseball? This is when, you know, we weren't sure about baseball or whatever. Well, and the Players Association hadn't okayed anything. And you'll get to hear it later.
Well, let's Blake's... hear Snell. He talks about having so much left in the tank. So we'll do that on the other side. It's 731 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The hardest thing for me is I was rolling. I was in a groove. I just really felt dominant, and I felt like I had them guessing. And, it's just tough for me, man. It's going to be tough for me for a while to, like, accept that and accept – losing the World Series, it's a lot, man. I don't really know how to look at it. It's just, it sucks. And whatever way you look at it, we lost. So if I would have stayed out there and we lost. So losing sucks.
There it is. There's Blake Snell last night.
Losing sucks.
Losing sucks, man. That's all I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, losing
he was
sucks.
Dominant.
Okay.
Whoa, Scarface is here.
He's
losing well, sucks soccer.
That's not.
You want to know that losing sucks?
I don't think he sounded like Scarface.
No, you did.
I did.
Losing sucks. You don't believe losing sucks?
Blake Snell or Blake Snell or Jason Braddock? Who was that? We should play that game.
Stop. Patrick Creighton is getting some love for his tweet. You know that thing I said about I don't know 3 months ago.
Should have put it out on Twitter then.
Why? Yeah, you don't put it.
Wouldn't
out
have mattered. He didn't have a blue check mark.
I don't have a blue check mark.
Does Patrick Creighton have a blue check mark?
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, he does. That's why it matters to me what's being said.
Oh, well, he's getting some love on Yahoo.
He should. He's got a blue check mark.
Yeah, he says that George Springer is pissed. He was supposed to get a contract this spring. I've only been saying that for about, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yahoo doesn't listen to the show. No. They read Twitter, though.
Yeah, no, that's so funny. I talked about the JJ thing on the show.
Mm-hmm. And then nothing. What did people say?
Nothing.
Oh, here's this blue checkmark guy. Wait, I know. And I told you, I was like, you need to tweet that out.
He called me and he said, hey, man, you got that story?
I said, are you sure? I said, do you have a good source? He goes, a great source. I said, you probably need to tweet that out. That's a big deal. And then all of a sudden, John's mentions got ruined.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because it went viral.
We went viral, and then they were looking up stuff that I said before.
No, they weren't.
And yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing on me, okay? Yeah. Nothing.
Why does he have – and then Pat McAfee's like, oh, no, there's a picture of Rob Manfred with a Pinocchio nose.
Yeah, what is that about? What is that about?
So here's a couple quick things. Bucky's isn't a home game, but it's like being in the bubble. Tim says Bucky's bathrooms are wonderful places when a travel dump is necessary. We didn't need to go that far with it.
I'm with you.
Justin Turner's disregard for human life is what needs to lead all news. In fact, the World Series never really happened. I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I use the Bucky's bat. I used to work in New Braunfels and use the Bucky's bathroom every day. It's as close as deucing at home as you'll get, says Buddy. All other Bucky's restrooms I've been in have been awesome, except the one on 290. The Bucky's on 290 is the most bust. Disappointing American institution known to man. Wow. That was Blake. Is he white or black or what? Del, do you want to handle that?
He's white. He just...
Are you sure?
Yes,
maybe
I've seen this. We've had this talk. We've seen his parents. Yeah, he's white.
If you Google Blake Snell, don't worry, it'll come up quickly. Blake Snell black? Blake Snell white, Blake Snell parents. It's an autocorrect. Very, very quick. 100% Blake Snell is Skinny Pete from Breaking Bad.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's good. That's a good one, actually. No, but okay. Blake Snell smokes weed. Yes or no?
Yes. He's in his basement playing games on Twitch. Yeah, he smokes weed.
It's 100. That's 100%.
Okay, Blake
weed.
Snell smoked weed last night before the game.
I mean, I'm going to say no, minus 300.
I don't know. He's got those bags under his eyes.
I know. It always does. He always looks like he's
always
smoking.
Looks like he's high.
Always. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. No. 7137803776 is the number.
I can tell John didn't stay up, by the way, to watch the.
I didn't watch the end. When Betts homered, I said, that's it, I'm done.
Okay, so you didn't hear Rob Manfred yesterday, did you?
No, I don't care to hear Rob Manfred.
Oh, yes, you do. You need to hear Rob Manfred after the game. Dale, if you've got one of those, there's two different audio bites that were sent to us. One is with him. With Seager, you know, handing out the MVP, and one is with him being interviewed after the game. And when you hear Rob Manfred, I know the first thing, Dell, I already know what John's going to say. I'm not going to say out loud because I want you to hear it first, but I already know what your immediate go-to is because it's your immediate go-to for everybody. Dell, let us know when you've got the sound.
Am I going to drop a D-bag on him?
No.
Oh. He doesn't say anything that'll get you upset so much.
Oh. No.
But here's him talking about the Justin Turner COVID positive case.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get the season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
John?
All right. What? What about it?
None of that sounded strange. Okay, play the other one, Dell. John's not picking up on it.
I don't have the other one. Did you tag me in the tweet?
Yeah. Well, I tagged you on both of them.
Well, I didn't see that. I played something that we already had because it wasn't sent to me. But some people are questioning whether he was sloshed or...
Oh, that he was... Yeah, he was slurring his words a little bit.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me in the least.
The guy is drunk!
Okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal. He's the commish.
It's our job was
I'm going to throw down some beers. If you think I'm holding that against someone...
You didn't even blink. That didn't even register with you.
Well, I noticed the stumbles and a little bit of a slur.
Some people think he was having a stroke. Some people think because he had the earpieces hear.
He had a few Coors Lights. Knocked down a couple Coors Lights.
Do you really think he was drunk and that's the way he was talking? Because he doesn't look drunk to me.
Well, listen, some of us...
I think he's a Westworld robot, and he's running out of juice.
Here's the deal. I can't like him. I have more respect for him now if he's throwing down some beers during the game. I do. I mean, I like that about him. So, I bet there's nothing I like about this lying, two-faced dude. I mean... He is an weasel. He's a weasel. He was the guy that was investigating. Have you watched Screwball?
Is that the Jose Canseco one?
That's the
Alex Rodriguez.
No, A-Rod. Yeah, A-Rod. Yeah.
It's the steroid. It's the steroid one.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's investigating A-Rod. A-Rod made him look like an idiot. He made it so that his lawyers. Drag this out. A-Rod lied and lied and lied. What a jerk he was. He couldn't have been a bigger a-hole during the whole thing. And then at the end, there's a picture of Manfred, J-Lo, and A-Rod all happy together. What a douche. Okay? This guy made your life miserable. He lied. He cheated baseball. And then, well, he's with J-Lo now. Let's give some love. What? Oh, what a two-faced, a hypocritical, I'm done. And then what he did to the Astros with throwing them under the grease when there's so many. And if this comes out with Major League Baseball, with this letter, and if the court lets this public, and the Yankees were cheating as well, this guy needs to be fired. Drinking during the World Series, I got to respect that, okay? All right? I couldn't sit through the Dodgers winning a World Series without having some pops. I mean, I can't blame him. I'm not going to hold that against the guy. But being a two-faced weasel, now that's another story. That's a different deal, okay? He's slurring a little bit. I'm all right.
Yeah, it was – some people were like, he sounds like he's having a stroke.
No, he wasn't having a stroke.
When we're playing with Justin,
most people never had eight or nine beers in their lives.
I'm telling you, something was different.
Yeah. So the Nebraska Wisconsin game is in doubt, Dell. We'll talk about that on the other side. 713-780-3776. Yeah, we got some college football to talk about here. We got some stuff to do. But first, I got to talk about Lance Loken. Dell wouldn't let me do it earlier. I wanted to talk about him right away, but Dell said no because that's Dell being an a-hole. About Lance Loken's like, hey, talk about me.
Lance Loken is like, hey, we want to be at a certain time of the day. Dell, thank you, Dell, for making sure John talks about us at a certain time of the day.
Melinda and Richard always dreamed of spending their retirement near the shores of Lake Conroe, so they wanted to sell their house. 16 showings, 7 offers. They sold their home for 7% over list price. Oh, 7%? What's that? I'll tell you what that is. Your initial price offering of your home is going to be way high. If you get 7% more, if you have 16 showings, there are – I got a buddy who's not with the Loken Group. He's had his house on the market for about a year and a half. He's got a sign in front of his house. He's had, I don't know, a handful of showings. He can't get a nibble. He's with the wrong real estate agent. That's just a fact. And listen – Lance Loken will make you an immediate cash offer. If you don't want to do all of this, you don't want to get the house ready, do all this stuff, he'll walk in and say, I'll give you this for it. How about that? And so and it makes it easy. You take what, and I'll listen, I'll take it. I just want to get out. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or the Loken Group, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com. The average house is on the market for 56 days with the average agent. With the Loken Group, just 30 days. Lance Lynn's team sell a home on average every 2 hours. They're the number one in Texas, number two in the world in Keller Williams. You're looking for the best, I'm telling you, the best agent in the world. TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. So they're not going with Vandenboom? Or what, they're talking about canceling the game, though?
Yeah, because the Big Ten not only has the 21-day quarantine, or at least I don't know what they're calling it, but they keep you out of competition for 21 days. They also have they have a stringent positivity rate. Like if you're at 5% of the team or so, you're done. You got to shut it down for 7 days. So what does that mean? I mean, does it probably, if you're a football team, you want that to include your walk-ons and your scholarship players. So let's say you have 115 players on your roster. When you get up to a certain point, you can't play. They're going to take you out. That's not like we saw in other places where 20 guys could be missing, but they'll still play the game. The Big Ten is so stringent that Wisconsin's getting close to the positivity rate, which means the game won't be played. Forget about the lack of quarterbacks. You could have, what, a wide receiver here, a cornerback there, and then you're done. So the Big Ten has made it very difficult for their teams to get through a year.
I think.
And if you don't get through, it's considered a no contest.
A no contest, not a forfeit. The game just won't matter, and there's no way to replay it because there are no bye weeks.
So it's just it is just going to be by percentages as opposed to record win percentage.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're you're Wisconsin, not only are you affected, you're in already a shortened year. Nebraska misses out on a game, and that's just how it's going to be. That's how the Big Ten set it up. So. They're getting close to that point. Paul Chris yesterday talked about how he thought the game would be okay, but that was before more positive tests comes in. I don't know how many guys they list on their roster, but you already have two quarterbacks out. So you throw in, five, six more players, and that might be all. That might be it for the game.
Oh, I mean, 5%. I really think this dude's sabotaging his own league. I mean, yes, have some nuts against the presidents. Have some, you know what, we're taking a, you know what, this is athletics. Let us run athletics. Go in there and try to work your case that we can get through this. We can do it. We see all the leagues. Yeah, there have been a few. I mean, there have been some instances. The NFL's had to move some stuff around, no question about it, but I mean, have some, not 21 days if you test positive. I mean, a kid might be asymptomatic, might be just fine. Go get your echocardiogram and then go back on the field. I understand but if you do take the right precautions, if you do an echocardiogram and the heart is okay, then what? Then why are you punishing the kid for 21 days? It, to me, I mean, it makes no sense. You're punishing the team. You're punishing the kid. You're punishing the whole league. You're actually sabotaging your own league.
Yeah, but they have. I mean, they've got standards, and this is. They came back and said, "We'll come back, but these have to be the standards."
Well, the standards are ridiculous.
I mean, it's set forth by whoever. I'm sure they work with the medical professionals to do it. But the thing is, they started so late. There is no. They have no wiggle room to move stuff around now.
Nick Saban tested positive. 2 days later, he was on the sideline. Well,
yeah, that was a little fishy, too, by the way.
You think? Yeah. But, oh,
I tested negative again. Okay, Justin.
Tested negative three times in a row, apparently. That's why he got the coach.
So you had a two-day coronavirus?
Or it was a false positive.
Yeah. Well, they didn't say that, did they?
I don't know what they said, but he
tested. Well, here's the thing, though. Our coach is being tested every day. I mean, Nick might have had it for a while.
That's true.
He might have had it for a while.
The coaches have to be getting tested as often as the players.
I'm not sure what the deal is with the coaches, if it's the same as the players that you're getting three times a week.
Nick Saban is over 70 years old. He's at risk. He's a high risk. He should be getting tested as often, if not more often, than the players.
Right.
You know, that should go without saying. So,
by the way, the Big Ten, how it's set up for them, as I mentioned, the 5% positivity rate, over 5%, is for the team. Now, they have the population means team, staff, trainers, all those things, and that's over 7.5 combined. So what they have is a light system. So if you have two reds, like if you're over 5% for the team and then over 5% for the entire football community – you're over 7.5 for the entire football community, we shut it down. But if you're at red for one and not red for the other, you have to do things in practice to mitigate, but you can still play. Two reds means you're screwed. But if you can, it's a light system, but one red, you can figure out ways to play. So what Wisconsin has to do is avoid the two reds. And then they may be able to get on the field.
That means there's no parking spots in the garage, all those reds. That's what it means.
They set up a stoplight system to figure out if you can play or not.
You ever see those stop parking garages with
in the airport.
Green lights?
In the airport, yeah.
Yeah. And listen, stop with your red lights. Stop with your lights. Okay, is there a danger? Here's the danger, is playing Vandenboom. That's the danger if I'm Wisconsin.
To lose the game.
You know what? I'm probably going to go, hey, you, what's your name? Aren't you a walk-on? Yeah, you're tested positive. We don't have our first two quarterbacks.
They don't have their first three quarterbacks.
Yeah, first three quarterbacks. You tested positive. But I feel good. You tested positive. That's all. Just go over there. You're a walk-on. And you too. Hey, you, what's your name? Well, you tested positive too.
So you are suggesting in a shortened year that Wisconsin would just simply not want to play a game to avoid playing Nebraska with their four-string quarterback?
I don't know. I haven't seen Vandenboom in practice. He might be Hornibrook. I don't know.
Well, Hornibrook won a lot of games for them.
Yeah,
they're
Hornibrook
fine with the Hornibrook.
Hornibrook was the worst college quarterback I've ever seen.
Wisconsin has played with below-average quarterbacks almost my entire life.
And
they have found ways to win games. No,
he got to
an Orange Bowl.
And then they saw Graham Mertz.
That's fine, but...
And they said, you know what? We got Graham Mertz.
Yeah, it's not.
We're waiting.
They're not playing Ohio State. They're playing Nebraska. They've beaten better with the likes of Hornibrook. If Vandenboom is as good as Hornibrook or as bad, however you want to describe it, they'll be fine. The problem is,
well,
Michigan,
they don't have Jonathan Taylor either, Del.
They had Corey Clement at one point and were still winning games. It hasn't always been Jonathan Taylor. Wisconsin.
No, but they had another pro. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
They might not have a pro right now.
Who knows? All I know is Hornibrook has won games, and if the guy on their roster is bad or as good as Hornibrook, they're okay because that's what Wisconsin has always done things like that. But, yeah, Graham Mertz is better. But Hornibrook was one. I've seen that dude win an Orange Bowl. They'll be fine if he's that good. If he's worse, then I agree with you.
Oh, listen, I don't know if it's possible to be worse than Hornibrook.
Well, someone had to back him up, so someone was worse.
Hey, I don't know. So apparently Michigan is out. By the way, I watched the Auburn-Alabama Roll Tide War Eagle to 30 for 30 yesterday. I mean, you want to talk about stupid. And apparently Michigan Wolverine fan is just as stupid. What the hell happened here? A Michigan native, University of Michigan fan used Facebook Messenger to threaten a shooting at Ohio State University during its annual game against Michigan. Nice. Vowed to hurt players on the football team, then head coach Urban Meyer. This happened in 2018. Daniel Rippey of Livermore. Nice job, Daniel Rippey. It's a football game, dude. It's a football game.
Yeah, but it's Ohio State, so somebody has to die, right?
The 29-year-old Rippey being held in jail in Columbus apologized several times, saying he'd been having a bad day. Well, okay. You know, I had a bad day. You know what I did? I took some aspirin, and I laid on the couch, took a nap. I decided not to threaten anyone's life at another university.
That's because
I decided not to go on Facebook and threaten everyone at Alabama.
Because you're not a real one, that's why.
I guess I'm not a real fan.
No, you're not a real one.
You're not a real SEC fan. We've been saying that. You're not even a real Big Ten.
You're a traveler when it comes to fandom.
I didn't kill any trees.
Yep, you're a gypsy.
Right. Well, no, you are. I'm a college football fan.
You're a gypsy.
Speaking of which, you guys like the Longhorns this week going to Oklahoma State?
Come on. Do you think we're going to say something bad about Oklahoma State in front of you?
We don't want that smoke.
In front of you, Tyson, John Fury.
Listen.
King of the Travelers.
No, there's an article today, though, and it's pretty. There's an article. We'll do it on the other side. It's about the University of Texas and their talent. Now, let's not forget they had Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay last year. So they were doing okay at wide receiver. But this one is not all that flattering about the University of Texas and where they're at. And, I kind of think it's dead on. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 757, time to talk a little Gulf Coast Chevy.
It's my guy, Craig DeSerf, and Rick Drenner, and the entire people, you know, the entire crew over there. I love going out there because it feels like home. It feels really great to see the same people every single time. They're always so great. They're so nice. My wife got her vehicle out there as well. I've sent neighbors and friends out there. A lot of you who have been listeners have gone out there and purchased vehicles. And I'm glad that you trust me on this because I put my name on them because I really appreciate the way that they do business. There's a zero hassle policy. They're not going to be out there trying to hard sell you. You kind of control the process. If you have any questions, they'll answer it for you. But just keep this in mind. This is a great opportunity for you with trucks, with a lot of purchase allowances that are out there right now for the rest of October that you need to ask about. Ask about the purchase allowances that they have, like with the Chevy Silverado, for example. The Chevy Silverado is a fantastic pickup truck, but I'm also partial to the GMC Sierra pickup truck. And I've never been a pickup guy, and I had a chance to drive one when my vehicle was in the shop. Got hit by an uninsured driver. And so I've got a Chevy Silverado to drive, and I was blown away by the Silverado. It is beautiful. It's such a great, smooth ride, and it really, the thing I really love about all the vehicles they have in stock right now is the interior features really are a home away from home, a great sound system. They look great, and they perform at an unbelievable level, and that's just the way that manufacturers are making them, and then you get them at better prices when you're out at Angleton with Craig DeSerf at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Make sure you go to LandZCars.com to see all the vehicles in stock. That's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.